Hello and thanks for tuning in. For Municipal World, I'm Sean Meyer. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share the stories of communities from coast to coast to coast. These are the stories of local government, the celebrations of success, the sharing of lessons learned, the cautionary tales, and the keen insights into what lies ahead for municipalities. Thank you all for joining us for this special episode of MW Shares, sponsored by the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. Our guests today are Emily Hayes and Nancy Simmons. Emily is the lead for sustainable, affordable housing at the Green Municipal Fund, which aims to facilitate the construction and retrofit of energy-efficient, affordable housing across Canada. Nancy is the CEO for Heartland Housing Foundation, a nonprofit housing management body that provides affordable housing in Strathcona County and Fort Saskatchewan, Alberta. Today, we'll be discussing how, through the Green Municipal Fund's Sustainable Affordable Housing Initiative, municipalities and housing providers are proving that energy efficiency and affordability can go hand in hand. Emily and Nancy will be here sharing lessons, challenges, and advice for the sector. Welcome, Emily. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
My pleasure. So, Emily, I think we're going to start with you and get your perspective on a few things. Over the past 5 years, what are some of the results from the Green Municipal Fund's sustainable, affordable housing? And what lessons have you learned about supporting municipalities and housing providers?
Yeah, thanks so much. I can kick things off for sure. So across Canada, municipalities are really at the front lines of two intersecting challenges, the housing crisis and the climate crisis. And communities are working to make sure that residents have safe, affordable places to live while also facing the realities of aging infrastructure, rising energy costs, and more extreme weather. And so that's really where the Sustainable Affordable Housing Initiative was created. We also call it SAW, which I'll probably refer to it in that way through this interview. And SAW is offered through the Federation of Canadian Municipalities Green Municipal Fund. And so FCM saw that affordability and sustainability weren't two separate issues, that they're deeply connected. When homes are more energy efficient, they cost less to operate, they're more comfortable to live in, and they remain affordable for longer. And so by supporting communities across Canada to improve the energy efficiency of their existing or future housing stock, we're able to address both those affordability and environmental sustainability challenges at the same time. And so getting into some of the results, since we launched in 2020, SAW has supported over 400 projects across the country, and that represents more than 7,500 affordable housing units either built or retrofitted, plus early stage planning for 67,000 additional units. And so what we're seeing is these projects are achieving an average 47% reduction in energy use and 70% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. And importantly, over 70% of these units are being rented at affordable rates, which would be 80% of the local median market rate or below. So they're truly serving low and moderate income households. But what's really meaningful is what we've learned through this work. We know these projects are complex, especially for smaller nonprofits, co-ops, who may not have that in-house technical expertise or capital planning teams. And so because of that, we designed SAW as more than just a funding program. It's also a capacity building model. And we combine funding with technical coaching, tools, and peer learning to help housing providers build their skills and confidence in taking on these sorts of projects. And that approach has then allowed even smaller organizations to deliver really ambitious energy efficient projects. And then that sort of creates a ripple effect of knowledge sharing across the country. So after 5 years, I'd say the biggest lesson is that when you give communities that right mix of funding, resources, as well as capacity building resources, expertise, and trust, they can really lead the way in taking on these sorts of projects, which ultimately create housing that's affordable to live in, affordable to operate, and better for the environment, and of course, sustainable for the long term as well.
Yeah, it turns out it's funny what can happen when you provide stable funding and expertise to municipalities. So what have you learned from the affordable housing organizations that you've funded over the last few years? Like, what's coming through are some of the keys to success to enable those affordable and energy efficient housing initiatives across the country?
Yeah, what's been so powerful about this program is really how much we've learned directly from the organizations we fund. Every project's taught us something different and new about what it takes to successfully deliver affordable and energy efficient housing. And the biggest takeaway really is that success starts long before our construction begins. Through our planning and study grants, we've heard from organizations how important it is that that early stage support enables to their project at that construction stage. It allows them to integrate energy and affordability goals right from the planning stage. And that can then translate into better results at the construction stage with buildings that have stronger environmental outcomes, lower operating costs, and homes that are truly affordable as well as comfortable to live in. We've also heard that internal champions are a key ingredient to success. So that would be someone inside the organization or on the board of directors who believes really deeply in the vision and keeps everyone moving towards it. These projects, as mentioned, are complex and take many years to complete. And so that internal champion can really help to maintain momentum when challenges come up. And then we've also learned that partnerships and building a strong team are really critical to success as well. So the most successful projects bring together the housing providers, municipality, and technical experts early on in the project. And then that collaboration early on helps to solve problems, ideally before they become barriers to success. And then finally, peer learning has been incredibly powerful. We've developed peer networks within our program for the projects that we fund to share knowledge and expertise and lessons learned. And we also deliver our regional energy coach program in partnership with housing sector organizations. And so these networks allow organizations to share their experiences with each other and with us, what's worked, what didn't, what they do differently. And we've seen this knowledge exchange really help to build confidence and create a culture of continuous learning. So to sum all that up, I'd say the keys to success have been early stage planning, strong champions, trusted partnerships and a strong team, and shared learning. And those are all the ingredients that we'll keep building on as we look ahead.
Very important pieces. And a lot of stuff that you've learned, as you've just referred to, looking back. So now we're going to look forward. Looking ahead, what's next for the Green Municipal Fund's work on affordable housing space? And how do you see that sector changing in the coming years?
Yeah, over the past 5 years, we've seen a lot of incredible momentum build across the sector and integrating sustainability and energy efficiency into affordable housing projects. And so that's what gives us a lot of optimism looking ahead. SAW was launched as a one-time $300 million investment by the federal government, and by early 2026, that funding will be fully allocated. But we're now seeing the longer-term impact of that investment in the form of newer retrofitted units, which then have tangible cost savings and better environmental outcomes. And beyond that, we've also seen organizations and local communities build their capacity to take on energy-efficient projects and seen that shift across the sector in how organizations think about energy performance and affordability. And then we also have hundreds of projects that have completed planning and feasibility study work, which represents hundreds of future buildings that have integrated sustainability and energy efficiency as a key objective. And so our next focus at the Green Municipal Fund is to contribute to sustaining the capacity that we have contributed to building, making sure the tools, knowledge, and partnerships that SAW created do continue to grow. And then we're also exploring ways to keep supporting early stage planning, because we know that's where success begins, and to continue to develop resources and continue to facilitate peer learning so organizations can learn from each other. And at the same time, we're working closely with our federal partners and with municipalities to ensure that future housing investments in communities of all sizes across the country build on this foundation, that energy efficiency, climate resilience, and resident well-being remain central to Canada's affordable housing strategy through Build Canada Homes, as well as other federal initiatives and programs. So what's next for us is really how we can take the lessons we've learned and help to make them standard practice, because every energy efficient home strengthens affordability, and every affordable home that's built to last strengthens community well-being as well. And so that's the vision we're sort of carrying forward, contributing to a housing sector that's affordable, sustainable, and resilient.
It's rather exciting, quite frankly. And you have allowed me to naturally progress into an organization that knows some of the things you're just referring to. Nancy, let's bring you back on board here. Heartland Housing Foundation has completed several major retrofit and new build projects with the Green Municipal Fund support. Can you share what motivated your organization to head down this path?
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to speak. So our organization began this journey in 2017, starting to think about our first affordable housing build in the city of Fort Saskatchewan. And so it was an opportunity for us to work with our municipality and think differently about housing. The end result was an 83 unit apartment building that was fully designed as a net zero build. It also used concepts of modular builds. So the design was contemplated from a structure that could be easily replicable on each floor. And then the net zero design really became our key focus in the design, and using the funds from the SAW program allowed us to fully integrate solar panels into the project. So if you look online, our building in Fort Saskatchewan from an aerial perspective looks like a giant solar farm. We've got lots of solar on the building that's producing and not only generating for our building, but it's also selling back onto the grid. And so we're able to help support the grid in a new and meaningful way, which I think is also somewhat pioneering for Alberta to start thinking differently of how we can produce energy and become a more efficient province. So starting to think outside of the box. And like Emily said, it's really important to work in the planning stages with all of the affiliated partners to make sure that it's a well-designed and well-supported system. So this program has really introduced the concept of solar. We've been open for a year and a half now, and we understand the complexities of solar, but also how it's provided savings for our tenants and on our building so that it's being added into our next design, which is what we're using the SAW planning funding for now on our next build.
Oh, nice. So what are some of the biggest challenges and, I guess, opportunities in delivering a project that meets both affordability and sustainability goals?
I think the biggest challenge is ensuring that in order to create affordable housing, it has to be done in partnerships with all levels of government and the funding to make it feasible and affordable. And so the important piece as we're building it into the design is making sure that those funding partners are available for the capital upfront costs as well. It's really difficult for us to integrate additional solar or net zero design concepts without having that funding support. And so that would be the biggest challenge as we're building the design, is to make sure that we have all of those funding supports in place to finalize the design. Once we had it up and running, it's been really well received by our maintenance team, who are having to learn a new system. It's very much comparable to our existing systems. It's just in a new way. So maintenance on it is less than what we would have done in the past. And we're seeing the benefits turned back on our lower electricity costs.
Mm-hmm. So how have residents and the broader community responded to this? Like, what are the differences that you've seen, whether it's comfort, operating costs, or just, you know, having pride in your space?
Yeah, I think it's become a bit of a showcase in the city of Fort Saskatchewan, seeing an organization like ours who are providing housing to lower income families and supports, that we can challenge our thinking on energy efficiency. We've done training with our tenants on how they can reduce their consumption and understanding the benefits of the air tightness of the building and how they can best manage that within their own suite. And I would say the biggest benefit from the tenant's perspective is there's still a cost to electricity because solar can only be used in certain times of the day, but we're able to give them stable electricity costs. So in a province where we're regulated by rates that are completely fluctuating and increasing on a month-to-month basis, we provide them with stable, secured monthly rates for electricity. They know what it's going to be month over month because we've built that stability into the program. So that helps people who are struggling with month-to-month payment of rent and making sure there's food on the table, that just provides them additional stability.
Yeah, no doubt. So based on your experience, what advice would you give other municipalities or housing providers for considering an energy efficient, affordable housing project?
So I would go back to what Emily was talking about. Those early stage planning is such a critical point in time to make these decisions of how you're going to integrate energy efficiency models into your design. It's the architect and the engineers that have to put it all together, and you have to make that critical decision. So again, it's making sure you're talking to all of the funding partners to make sure that the scope of work is possible based on the funding you're going to receive. And like any other build, whether it's a net zero design or otherwise, we always learn from our previous constructions. And so there's improvements on our net zero design that we would implement into our next phase.
Makes a lot of sense. I think you've both given people a lot to think about on a really important and timely topic. So thank you, Emily, and thank you, Nancy, for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.
We'd like to hear your ideas. If you have a topic that you would like to see covered in a future episode, simply drop us an email at stories@municipalworld.com. Also, don't forget to share and subscribe.